there, welcome back to another episode of the Live Support Ops Hangout. I'm your host, Chase Clements. This is a show that helps you deliver a better support experience to your customers. Before we jump into this week's topic, let's go ahead and meet the rest of the crew. So first up, in the last time we'll ever see him in this house category, Jeff Vincent from Wistia. How are you?
Great, Chase. Thank you for asking.
Oh, I try. Next up from the, okay, so if we're going on that thing, the never know where she's going to be at house, Carolyn from Buffer. How are you?
This is my childhood room again, waiting on nephew. So yeah, we'll hopefully have a more interesting background next time, but I'm great. Thanks for asking.
And then the one constant in all of this, it's almost like that.
It's life.
Yeah, I mean, so my wife and I were binge watching back through Lost a couple of weeks ago, and it's the, you know, they had the whole constant thing in there. That's Chase Livingston. Livingston, you are our constant. How are you?
Doing well. I have no desire to buy a new house or move or anything like that. So yeah, this will definitely stay the same for a while.
Yeah, and for mine, I promise one day I'll paint this god awful pink. I just don't know when. It'll happen sometime. That's what I said, like 50 episodes ago? I don't know. So this time, so it's new series time. That's always fun, always exciting. So we wrapped up the last one. This one, we're going to be focusing a little bit more on you. You know, for the last couple of series now, we've talked about how to make your team better, make your product better. So in this one, we're going to be looking at how to make you better as a support pro. And for this episode, we're stealing from Jeff's idea. So I don't have all the great ideas when it comes with topics. This one was all Jeff. And we want to talk about setting some goals here. So Jeff, we'll give you first swing. Give us one of your goals and tell us why it's one of your goals. Like, why set a goal like that?
Oh, gosh. Okay. Well, so for me, over the last 3 months or so, I've moved from really being a details-oriented project management product manager to being a mentor and guide for existing for our other product managers. And then my job is more about setting and communicating the product direction and breaking that down into bite-sized pieces that can be attacked by, you know, the teams, and they can come up with their own plans. And so I was woefully unprepared. I mean, that's just not my normal mode of operation. My normal mode is like, what do we need to do? Let's do it. Like, why are we waiting? Let's just get it done. And so a goal for myself has been to improve the way that I communicate, especially in stuff that sticks around longer. So like writing more than speaking. I guess like essays more than emails, things that are like visible to a group for history, as opposed to something that disappears from somebody's inbox. So that is not a tangible goal in any way, but that has been what I've been working on.
I don't know. I think that's tangible to some degree.
It's not a, what is it? It's not a smart goal. It's not a measurable goal. Per se, like the wording of the goal is not measurable, but I know what it is I want to do and I want to make progress against that. And that's like as strict of a goal as I feel like I need to be right now.
Yeah. So Carolyn, you know, you're leading the support team there. Do you find that you're having to set goals like that for yourself, you know, kind of changing how you communicate and things?
Yes. Yeah, we spend a fair amount of time trying to figure out how to communicate as a constantly growing or shrinking team, depending on the season, and remote team. One thing that I've been to, should I answer the same question?
Yeah, shoot, go for it.
It's funny, I feel like I'm doing the opposite of what Jeff just described. We've spent so many seasons of like thinking really big picture and trying to like reimagine, you know, everything about how we do things and what are the big ideas. More recently I've been, really enjoying kind of digging into the details instead of that for a season. And so what I'm doing now is learning about every process and going like, can we make this step a little bit better? And like just sort of chasing down inefficiencies and inconsistencies, because we have a pretty large team now, and each one of those inconsistencies or inefficiencies is multiplied by the number of people we have on the team. So that's kind of what I've been doing lately, trying to find opportunities to improve on a micro scale.
Yeah. So Chase, when it comes to goals and things, you know, a lot of times as the company grows, you're going to have more pressure is the wrong word, but maybe, I don't know, suggestions or whatnot to have everybody on your team kind of set goals for the company. I mean, that's something that I've experienced here at Basecamp. We didn't really do any of that 2-3 years ago, but now as the team grows, we're kind of like getting on this kind of goal, not driven necessarily, but, you know, goal inspired. What do you want to do in the next year, 2 years, that kind of thing. How's that work at Automatic? Are you setting goals for yourself?
We do some personal goal setting, but I think for us at Automatic, it's more on a team level and we're in different divisions now is sort of what we look at them as. So, you know, I'm sort of part of the Jetpack and Premium Services division versus, you know, the theme division or WordPress.com. And so sort of the big thing right now across most of the company is, I think it's something that Google pioneered called OKRs, objectives and key results. And so we have obviously company-wide OKRs, and then we even get as granular sometimes as, you know, team-wide, you know, OKRs. So we have about four of teams that are working on the same products in the Jetpack land, including, you know, Jetpack, WordPress, those kind of plugins. And we have some OKRs across those four teams. And then even each of those individual four teams may have even some more specific or, you know, different OKRs depending on the kind of work that they're doing. So that's sort of where we are at Automatic right now. Not just in happiness, but lots of different teams are doing the similar thing, and it seems to be working really well. You know, obviously we may not do maybe like a quarterly OKR or a, you know, 6-month OKR, and then at the end of that time we'll, you know, evaluate, hey, did we, you know, meet these key results for these objectives that we set, you know, 3 months ago, 6 months ago, whatever the case may be. And that's been really helpful to, you know, to help us set measurable goals and then, you know, accomplish them.
Yeah. I think so. Carolyn, is it Buffer that's kind of moved toward OKRs?
We have.
Yeah. So for people that might not be familiar with those, kind of tell us what we mean when we talk about OKRs.
Me?
Yeah, sure. Cause you're the one with the most experience at this point with them. So.
I'm the most experienced with trying to do OKRs. I would say we have had a lot of success with the concept. I don't know that we've ever like really hit it, but yeah. So the idea is objectives and key results, and an objective is a sort of a concept, and a key result is 3 or 4 very measurable, tangible ways to determine whether or not you reach that. So every objective has 3 or 4 key results, and you usually choose between 3 and 5 objectives. The idea is, it comes from Google, and the idea is that they should be extraordinarily ambitious. And the reason for that is because if you set a goal that you can achieve based on what you're already doing, then you just do what you're already doing. Whereas if you set a goal that is so far outside of the realm of possibility based on your current processes that it forces you to rethink the problem and kind of, you know, go back to a first principles concept and say, like, how could we achieve this?
I don't know what that was, but that was yeah.
Not muted. While you are supposed to set a very ambitious goal, it's not necessarily expected that you would hit it. In fact, if you hit 100%, so if you end up scoring them, so if you score a 1 out of 1, then generally it indicates that if you score 1 on like all of your objectives, then it generally points to perhaps not reaching far enough or thinking ambitiously enough. So it's common to reach like, you know, 0.3 on 1 if you totally miss it, or 1 on 1 or 2, but many fall, and usually the average is somewhere around 0.7, 0.8.
And those tend to be like more team-oriented stuff, right? Or are there individuals that are doing, okay, my OKR for the next whatever is this?
We do, with very similar to what Chase Livingston described, we do company wide, we do team wide, we do, you know, like happiness team, we do Twitter team and email team and business team and individual. So it's
I want to see that tree chart or whatever.
Yeah, it's a bit of a mess. And I alluded to this earlier. What we've succeeded at is realizing when two different teams have OKRs that potentially conflict. So, you know, the happiness team right now, we're running into one where like the happiness team wants to improve our response time, but the marketing team wants to send more marketing emails. And so the replies, you know, things like that. So at that point, in advance of doing it at the point of setting the goals, you can negotiate as opposed to finding out later that this team is doing this thing that impacts your goals and you had no idea. You can kind of go, oh, these might be at odds. Let's talk about that and make sure that we think about, you know, we work together on this. And that's been useful. And it kind of sets the agenda and it gives everybody in the company a lot of visibility, and it's a lot about transparency. You know, you can have a concept of what general goals are. We have almost never successfully executed one full quarter of OKRs, usually because we change everything halfway through the quarter. And so the first two times we did this, we were like, oh no, we broke everything. What do we do? And then this most recent quarter, we kind of went, okay, well, now we realize that we work much more on a 6-week process than 12. So, than like 3 months. So let's just be okay with that and change them halfway through the quarter. And that's been what we've done this particular time. And that works a little bit better.
Carolyn, were there any other objectives that were considered for the happiness team besides what you chose?
Good question. Yeah, so generally Joel and Leo set the company-wide OKRs and then with some negotiation. So they suggest some big themes and then we sort of break down at that point. The short answer is no. Generally it changes a lot from the beginning to end, but if Joel and Leo feel strongly about an objective, we generally try. Although they might say, reach this goal, and we might say, like, really, the objective for this quarter is to get us in place to reach this goal in the next quarter. Like, we often break it down further or say we can do it sooner, or we will probably need to do all this background work with data and team structure and things before we can reach that goal. So it'll often look quite different. But is that what you're asking? If like,
yeah, just like as we're talking about goals, I think that one of the things that's unfair to support teams is like they're on a treadmill. Like their objective tends to always look the same, which is like do what you're currently doing, but cheerier and faster. And I think it would be interesting. I do not have an answer here, but like it would be interesting for us to come up with even a list that like support leads could look through of just brainstormed ideas of different objectives. Like, sure, you'd have to find a way for that one to roll up into your company OKRs, like to your point. But I would challenge people to come up with in that structure an objective that isn't like, hey, support team, like do it faster.
Okay. I'm glad you clarified. Yeah. So some seasons we have had, we really do need to make this faster as an objective, and some we have not. So one quarter we said, we're doing pretty well on speed. Where our challenge is that our answers are, we're not reaching resolution as quickly as we want because we're having to ask the customer, it's basically lower quality than we would like to see. We're having to ask the customer a lot of questions. Our investigation tools are not where we would want them to be, depending on snippets too much, like some of these more experience type things as opposed to faster. And so we just didn't even have faster as a goal. We just had, and sometimes the way you can phrase key results as a negative. So, we will know we achieve this if we do these three things and this thing doesn't get worse, you know, like if we don't hurt this other metric. So that can be a way that you can roll speed into it, even if it's not you know, obviously we don't want to significantly decrease speed. So that ends up being a part of it, but it's not a goal to go faster in itself.
Sorry. Not a shot at the framework at all. No. I think goals in general leave support teams out in the cold where it's like, and support team, go faster, do more.
Yeah.
I wonder how we can, you know, for those support teams out there that if they were to put this in place, it would be like each quarter go a little faster or answer more replies than you did the previous one. Like how else can they get off that treadmill?
Yeah.
A lot of it too is like, is developing skills, right? So a lot of this be faster, have more replies in this channel versus that channel, yada, yada. That's still like team stuff. So when we start looking at the person, the individuals here, maybe it's, you know, learn Ruby on Rails in the next 6 weeks. That way you can take pressure off some programmers and maybe free up a programmer for something else, right? Maybe it's something like, test out three different new apps to see if that brings anything to the team. So like one of the things that I've been working on with a couple other people is we're thinking about bringing live chat in, but you don't really know how you want to offer it and where you want to offer it and all those other things that go into it. So, you know, if we're being technical and measuring things and all that, it's the objective might be something like, you know, bring live chat to such and such amount of people within such and such amount of time frame, that kind of thing. But at the moment, we're just kind of like looking at what options are. So it's still kind of goals that we're moving forward towards, but it's not make, you know, your first time to reply number this number, if that makes sense.
Yeah, because it's hard to tie that personal development to that goal.
Yeah, and so I think that's the tricky part in all this, right? It's easier. Okay, so for me anyways, when I think about goals and OKRs and that kind of thing, it's easier to set those for teams and companies than maybe the individual. So Jeff, when you're looking at individuals on the team and helping them set some of the, you know, things that they want to work toward, like what kind of things are they working towards?
A lot of it is the interpersonal stuff. A lot of people are working, I mean, I work in product management, so that's not a surprise. That's like the entirety of my job. But a lot of people are working on, I want to improve our communication. I want to improve our alignment on things. I want to get ahead of things so I'm not spending all of my time bringing two people closer together. And instead, I'm like keeping them to, you know, closely aligned the whole way through. So it's a lot. I think that's, I'm trying to think. There's a couple of people who are working on technical stuff. I think you mentioned like Ruby on Rails, right? There are a couple of people who are like, I'd like to up my technical chops. But a lot of people are like, I just know that communication problems cost us so much time. I wish that I had thought of that 3 months ago before all this happened or something like that.
Yeah, I think, you know, Caroline mentioned earlier, improving those little inefficiencies and things like that. Like that's something that can translate very well into a personal goal OKR that is not, and that's just fun to say, right? OKR. Like, I don't know, it just rolls off the tongue fun. Anyways, you can set those at the individual kind of level and really make progress. And by doing things like that, it kind of rolls back up into those bigger ones for the teams and the companies. Like right now, we've got, so we offer a version of Basecamp for kind of enterprise, bigger clients. And with that, each account basically gets like an account rep. Where our process for that to this date has not been like this very set in stone, do this, do this, do this kind of process. It's been more, well, one person will kind of handle their accounts like this. One person might do this. But now as we've grown, it's become kind of clear where the inefficiencies are, where the deficiencies of that process are. And one person has now taken it on to kind of help fix all that. And that's kind of the thing that they'll be working on. So yeah, it's kind of a goal, you know, the goal being clean up all this, not mess, but all of this stuff. But it's not, like you were talking earlier, Jeff, it's not make support faster or anything. I mean, it'll tie into it, I guess, right? So when the process becomes cleaner, when the inefficiencies are worked out, as a whole, you get better, you get faster or whatnot. But it's not specifically tied into speed. I think, I don't know, like you mentioned earlier, when you say, do your job better, faster, whatever, like that becomes almost detrimental. Like, we tried that at Basecamp, right? We said, we want to get as fast as we can. We want to get sub 5 minute reply times. And only in the last couple of months have we looked back and said, maybe this was not the right kind of goal or metric or anything else that we want to try. And that's okay. I mean, we spent the last year kind of working toward that. And at the end, we're like, maybe we really don't want to be here. And that's fine. That's goals happen like that sometimes. But I think those are the easy ones to set. The kind of more individual personal growth kind of ones, those are the tougher ones to set.
Chase, I'm interested. It's interesting to hear that Basecamp is setting goals, because I seem to remember reading a Jason Fried blog post where he was like, goals.
Yep.
I mean, he wasn't brutal about goals, but he was more like, I've never used goals.
Yeah, never had a goal.
Yeah, do you think that, I mean, personal development is really a different track, right? As opposed to, I'm going to make $1 billion. It's like there's a separate track, which is, I'm going to get better at my people management or my time management or whatever personal goal. Mm-hmm. So are those two things maybe orthogonal? I'm like connecting dots that I shouldn't connect.
Yeah. So, and I'll make sure to put this in the show notes, the Medium article that he put up. There's a quote in here that I want to read real quick, because I had this one pulled up. I knew like Jeff is going to call me on this one. So be ready. But Jason, you know, our CEO said, I do things, I try things, I build things, I want to make progress. I want to make things better for me, my company, my family, my neighborhood. But I've never set a goal. It's just not how I approach things. A goal is something that goes away when you hit it. Once you've reached it, it's gone. You could always set another one, but I just don't function in steps like that. And I think...
But some people do.
Yeah. And so this is the big thing. It's kind of like, you know, with all of our shows, it's your mileage may vary. Everybody's different. Every company's different, that kind of thing. Here at Basecamp, we as a company don't set out and go, we're going to have 10,000 new enterprise level accounts in the next year. We just don't. It's slow and steady growth for us. And we kind of branch out and kind of bring in whatever accounts that we can, as long as we're making progress, right? As long as profits are going up, as long as revenue is going up, that's the kind of direction we want to head in. It's kind of same thing with me. Like, we talked about how we want to bring live chat back into Basecamp in some way, shape, or form. We know we want to do that, and we know we want to do it probably by the end of the year, but there's no set there's no set SMART goal, like we were talking about earlier. Have X amount of accounts with X amount of people coming through live chat by X amount of date. It's kind of, we're making this natural progression towards that. So yeah, I don't think they're necessarily like diametrically opposed. I think that you can, you know, have a company like Basecamp and have general idea of where you want to go, but not necessarily set out very specific OKRs like it sounds like Buffer's doing. And that's totally fine. Every company is different. Every person in that team is different. Like, even on our team, some people need very specific goals. That way they can be reaching those milestones. For me personally, I don't really do it as much, but I can see where it's helpful, which is kind of one of the reasons why we wanted to tackle this topic.
Yeah, I think what's dangerous, I mean, maybe I'm taking this off topic, but what I think is dangerous, because I've experienced it, is when leadership is the one setting and pushing the goals, and they're the type of people that when a goal is achieved, it takes a lot of time for them to kind of switch to a new goal. We had a very long-running goal, similar to what you were saying about 10,000 customers, and when we hit it, there was like a general malaise, right?
Yeah, it's like, what's next?
From some of the people who were championing it, and it wasn't, you know, to Jason's point, like, it wasn't like, what's the next step? Like, there was a long period of time where it was kind of like wandering between goals, and people were kind of like, I don't know, have we made it? Mm-hmm. Right? And of course, no, we haven't made it at all. I mean, we made it to a certain extent, but not anywhere near where we want to be. And that's the kind of reframing that you... That's why maybe the personal goals, when it's kind of like personal to you, is better than if you're kind of depending on rolling up to a company goal that then goes away in a couple of weeks because everyone just forgets that we did that whole OKR process. Also happened to us, by the way.
We had one of those.
Yeah, Chase Langston, what do you think? Is it, and this might just be a small company thing, like with Automattic, is there any big... I don't know what I'm trying to phrase here. Does the personal goals that you set roll up into a company one? Like, what happens when you kind of run into that? Well, I've met the goal. Now what?
Occasionally, I guess. I think I'm sort of like you in that I don't necessarily, especially not publicize, but don't set necessarily personal goals and just work towards the team goals, I guess. I guess I have personal goals as far as, like, you know, bettering my, I don't know, PHP knowledge or something like that so that I can understand how to, you know, write a better bug report when I run across something for our developers or something like that. But obviously we're focusing on response times as a team. We're also focusing on helping the developers, like, triage the different GitHub repositories and stuff for all the plugins. That's one of our other, you know, main projects and things like that. So those goals are all, you know, team-wide or division-wide OKRs for us. And I know some people on, you know, our teams definitely set, like, personal OKRs, and they'll write a post about them and, you know, make sure that it's all public. But me personally, I'm not, I guess, that granular or that detailed with it, and mainly just focus on our team-wide and company-wide OKRs probably more so.
Yeah, I think so. Good personal example for me. A couple of years ago, I decided I wanted to write better because I was in a similar situation that Jeff was. I was a remote worker. I needed to communicate better, especially in a written form. So not only can I very clearly talk about whatever I need to, but I can also put it in a place where it's history preserved, not lost in an inbox. Like Jeff was mentioning, more emails than essays, I think. Is that what you said?
Other way around.
No, essays, more essays than emails. That's what you're talking about. And yeah, for a while there, it was like, all right, so I want to be a better writer, which means I need to write more. So if I'm going to write more, then I need to sit down at the computer and say, I'm going to write for X amount of time, for X amount of, you know, Y amount of times each week. And when I did that, it felt like work, like hard work. And I'm not saying that, you know, there aren't times where you've got to just put in the work and that kind of thing, but it felt more of a burden than me actually developing or growing any. Now, as soon as I stopped with that, kind of forcing myself to do X amount per week, then it kind of became fun again, and it just kind of naturally, progressively grew at that point. So for me, I don't know, it's been one where I tend to shy away from, I guess in this case, it's SMART goals, right? The ones that, like, have to meet that criteria about measurable and actionable and whatever else it is. And more into the, I want to be better at X, I want to be better at Y, and I'm going to aim myself that way.
Can I jump in with one thought? Yeah, I think we've also found that there's, like, two types of people. Some people are really moved by, I want to check off a list every single day. I want to check the box. It says I did it today, and I did it 3 times a week, and yay me, and I get a gold star. And then some people are like, nope, just tell me that, like, I want to walk towards the sunrise, and I'll walk east. Like, that's how I get
better.
God,
that's the perfect example. That's great. Just point me toward the sunrise.
That's stolen. That analogy is stolen from a quote by the Minimalists. I'll send it to you for the show notes.
You should have just rolled with it and said it was yours.
Somebody would have called it. But it depends on the person. I just wanted to add one quick thought, though. I think if we're talking about, like, bettering ourselves or bettering our company or, like, reaching a big goal, that's one thing. But you can also set an objective, and, like, specifically to your point, Jeff, about support being a treadmill, and you know, your job is basically to, like, you know, put the dirt back in the hole, like this. Sometimes these OKRs can be very specific projects so that you remember to celebrate achievements as a company. Like, we have this challenge a little bit where, because we're remote and because every time we end up communicating, it's intentional, basically, because you don't run into each other in the kitchen. We sometimes have this situation where we focus so much on the challenges, and we forget sometimes to go, hey, we did the thing that we wanted to do. And so you can set OKRs around a very specific project. Like, the objective can be, we want to improve our self-help resources. And one of the key results can be, you know, we launch, you know, 16 additional items in the FAQ and reach, you know, 50% upvote for useful, like, things like that. And that's that way, it's not necessarily this, like, epic direction that, like, sets, you know, it's not like a company identity. It's more like, hey, we did the thing. Yay. Which can be useful. Yeah.
I love that. I love that approach of the, hey, we did the thing. Yeah, so I really like that. I guess for me, it bogged down where it was, we have to, I remember, so several decades ago, General Motors was losing out to some of the Asian car companies, Honda and Toyota and all that. And they said, all right, we're going to set a hard goal of, we want to be, you know, 30% of the, I forget what the number was, but it was like 30, 40%, whatever it was.
Insert yeah, 20, 27.
Yeah, 20, what, 26, 27, whatever it was. Insert number here. We want to have that amount of people buying our cars. And everybody became so focused on that one thing. Like, that became the company identity. And I guess at that point, there was just like so much pressure for everybody. And if I go to work and I just feel anxiety and burden and pressure all day, like that's just not a good environment for me. But if you flip it and it's like, hey, we did the thing, and then we can celebrate that, because I think you're right, we do have to be very intentional in the things that we celebrate. That is fantastic. That is a really killer way to look at that. Especially on support, you know, whenever, like, most of the customers we hear from, like, shit's broken, you know, it's something mm-hmm. negative. So mm-hmm. being able to celebrate small things like that is, not, I say small, but like, that's big, you know, being able to celebrate things like that, that's fantastic. That's something that managers should be looking to do. And it's a perfect use case for OKRs there.
I think that the word you, sorry, go ahead, Carolyn.
You go.
I thought that the word that you used right there was dead on, which is intentional, Chase. And I think mm-hmm. that the company, the people at the company have the responsibility to choose how the company should grow intentionally, right? Like, that's how you guide a company to being even bigger and better and whatever that you want it to be. But I do really think that people should be thinking through how they can be intentional about their own personal development as well. Because if you get caught up in like, oh, the company's trying to release this big thing, and like, I'm just going to put my stuff, you know, to the side because I really want to help them do that thing. I think you should do that. But I think you only have a limited number of times you can make that decision before that growth kind of passes you by. And, those growth opportunities kind of, you know, you lose out on being the best person that you can could have pushed for, I guess. So I don't know, nothing really to take from that, except that I like the idea of, personally for me, like, trying to sit down and think, even outside of, even whether it rolls up to our company goals or not, what are the things that I could be better at? Because even if I wasn't doing this tomorrow, that would still benefit me, or that I would still enjoy doing more of that. And so I wish that I was better at it, that kind of thing. That's how I come up with mine.
All right, Caroline, you get the last thought. What are we going to throw in?
Oh, it's not nearly as epic. We should have ended on Jeff.
We always end on Jeff.
No, exactly. That's why Carolyn's going to say something.
I'll share the thought anyway. Yeah, just to Jeff's point, like, I do think part of the value is just taking the time to reflect, which, and like, and have the thought of like, what do I want to be achieving? So even if you don't like that, that's also part of the value. But what I was going to say was, OKRs are also not supposed to be a job description. So you're not supposed to put everything that you're supposed to achieve is not supposed to be an objective. It's supposed to be the things that are in addition to that. So we know you're going to show up and do your job, but if you really stretch and push yourself and set these, like, this sort of crazy goal of what if it's more of a what if exercise. So it's, you can certainly have a what if about speed or a smaller goal, but yeah, the personal development ones are huge for that. Like, what am I going to really need to achieve to be able to, you know how to code by this time or whatever it is in Livingston's example.
Yeah. And so with those personal developments too, you know, we talked about with tingles and that kind of stuff, having that moment to celebrate, do the same thing with your personal ones. Like, if you, I don't know, are we sticking with a PHP coding thing from Livingston? Like, if you do that and you write a brand new WordPress plugin or something, like, go out and treat yourself to a nice dinner, you know, or buy a Batman costume or whatever it is that you do to treat yourself. Like, celebrate. Parks and Rec, that's what he did. Oh, are you not a Park and Recs fan?
Sorry.
Oh, it's okay. Treat yourself. Oh, but yeah, I mean, everyone makes a big deal about doing it for like your team. You got to do it for yourself too. So that's where we're going to leave it for this week. This is a fun new series that we've only kind of scratched the surface on. We're going to dive back in next week with even more. So that said, we'll have show notes up shortly, supportops.co. Make sure to sign up for the email newsletter too, because that's where you'll find some of the shout outs that we've been doing, and just kind of all sorts of other fun stuff. Let us know what you think, what goals that you're doing, if you're setting goals, if you're like Jason, my boss, and has never had a goal, whatever. Let us know. hello@supportops.co or we're at supportops on Twitter. That's it. So until we see you again next time, have an awesome week.
I hope Kara is showing up.